WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Darryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. WBUR senior health and science reporter Gabriella Emanuel. Welcome back to The Common.
Hey, it's good to be here.
Oh, yes. It's good to have you because I'm scared. I'm afraid Poison Ivy is coming to kill us all. Gabriella, you have a story about how poison ivy, which is a plant that you can find throughout much of the United States, and that includes Massachusetts, it seems to be thriving under climate change. So to start us off, tell us exactly what poison ivy is. You know, beyond it being this plant that gives people an itchy rash, why is it something that we should be concerned about, the fact that it seems to be thriving?
Sure. So poison ivy is, as you mentioned, a vine. It's known for having these kind of three-leaf clusters, and it is native to New England. You might find it particularly kind of along the roadside, along forest edges. And what it is it's a plant that has a specific type of oil called urushiol that can give you an allergic reaction. And this is not just on the leaves, but also on the stems, on the roots. The whole plant has this. I spoke with a dermatologist who sees a lot of poison ivy, and he explained to me that actually poison ivy is not poisonous. Instead, it causes an allergic reaction. And what that means is that the same exposure can manifest differently depending on the individual person. Mm. Here is Lewis Kushner, who works in the suburbs west of Boston.
Some people will have a tremendous allergic reaction to poison ivy, and others just don't seem to mount any allergic reaction at all.
So roughly 80% of people do have an allergic reaction to poison ivy, but the more you're exposed, the higher the chance you'll kind of develop this reaction.
Got it. You ever had poison ivy?
I actually have not, despite having pulled a lot of poison ivy in my life.
Are you immune?
Yeah. I don't know, but I've heard it's risky to try and test that. So I actually suit up and do it very carefully. My husband is quite allergic, so I'm very well aware of how disruptive it can be.
Let me find out you're a superhero, Gabriella. So Gabriella, what's the science behind poison ivy and climate change?
Yes. So there are a few big studies that show poison ivy is doing really well, first, when there's more CO2, more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, which is happening naturally with climate change. And second, when the soil is getting warmer, which is also happening with climate change. We often think about the weather getting warmer, but soils are also getting warmer. So I can tell you more about both those studies, but it is important to say that this data is coming from laboratory controlled experiments. So out in the wild, we don't totally know what's happening with poison ivy, but from observations by conservationists, we hear that it is spreading quickly and that the leaves themselves are getting bigger and bigger. But here's the science. This is what researchers have found. The first, as I mentioned, CO2, carbon dioxide. Back in the 90s, scientists decided to study what would happen to plants, to the entire forest ecosystem, if CO2 levels were pumped way up. So they built towers around these huge forest plots and pumped CO2 into the woods. And then they watched the plants over many years. And these scientists found that everything grew faster with more CO2. CO2 is essentially what plants take in as their food. So it's no surprise there. But vines grew the best of all, and poison ivy specifically was the speediest. Here is William Schlesinger, an emeritus professor at Duke University, who oversaw that study, which actually started way back in the 90s. He told me that poison ivy really caught the scientists' attention because of just how fast it grew compared to everything else.
Oh, it was the max. It topped the growth of everything else.
Hmm.
That second study I talked about, the warmer soil, that is an ongoing study here in central Massachusetts where they've actually put coils in the ground that warm the soil. And there too, they're looking at a whole range of plants and they have found that poison ivy is just taking off. That's the word the researchers I spoke to there used.
That is wild. Mm-hmm. So you have the data from these experiments, but no hard data for poison ivy that's actually growing in nature, right?
Right.
But you did talk to somebody who removes poison ivy for a living, and they've been doing it for over a decade. Now, what kind of changes have they noticed over the years? Like, what kind of data have they collected?
So I was able to tag along with this guy who is named Peter Barron. He goes by his company's name, Pesky Pete, and his job, as you said, is removing poison ivy. Mm-hmm. And actually, his promise to his customers is that he'll do it with no chemicals. He just pulls it with his hands, these long gloves, a few garden forks. But he's very intimately involved with the plant because he's out there kind of pulling it every day. He told me he actually gets poison ivy, this itchy, blistering rash, about 10 times a year. But he really loves poison ivy. So every year when the leaves are just coming out, they're blooming, he says, he takes a picture of the very first leaf he sees in Massachusetts or New Hampshire, which is the area he works in. And over those 14 years, he has noticed if he lines up all his photos, he sees the dates that he took the photo change. Here he is.
And when I first started, it was May 10th or May 11th. I was so excited. I was like, wow, the season's here. Poison ivy is going to be, this is going to be great. I'm going to do this. And over the course of the 14 years, like in 2023, the first sightings of poison ivy was on April 18th. So basically almost a whole month earlier than when I 14 years ago had started.
And his guess is that it is warming weather that is letting this plant kind of come out earlier and earlier each year.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
Politics has never been stranger or more online, which is why the politics team at Wired is making a new show, Wired Politics Lab. It's all about how to navigate the endless stream of news and information and what to look out for. Each week on the show, we'll dig into far-right platforms, AI chatbots, influencer campaigns, and so much more. Wired Politics Lab launches Thursday, April 11th. Follow the show wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back with Gabriella Emanuel. The other thing about the fact that poison ivy is thriving, it's not only getting bigger, right? But it's getting more toxic as
well.
That's
right. Yes.
Tell us about that and what it could mean for our safety.
Yeah. So there are two different elements of this. This is from scientific studies, again, not out in nature. But when you increase the level of CO2, the plant is doing two different things. One is that it seems to be making a more allergenic form of the oil that causes the reaction. And actually, one of the scientists who worked on this, Jackie Mohan, she told me that she had never gotten a poison ivy reaction before. And now when she works with what's essentially the most poisonous form of poison ivy on Earth, because it has this enhanced CO2, she gets a crazy reaction. So that's just her anecdotal individual experience. And at the same time, other scientists have actually found that the concentration of that oil in, you know, a given area has increased. So both of those seems to be happening.
Oh, wow. All right. So this can be pretty toxic for humans, right? What about plants and wildlife? Because, you know, poison ivy grows in the forest, right?
Yes. So we have seen that the oil that impacts people is getting more toxic with more CO2, and that's a concern for people. But it's a different concern when we look at animals and plants. So when we look at plants in particular, what we see is that the vines are growing faster than other plants in this kind of higher CO2 environment. And that is a problem because the entire forest ecosystem has a very delicate balance. And if the vines take off and can outstrip the growth of trees, what happens is something called canopy collapse, where the vines can grow up the trunk and then cover the leaves of the tree such that it can't get what it needs. So then the trees kind of collapse because this vine's growth outstrips the tree's growth. And then in terms of animals, actually here in the short term, they might be pretty happy about the situation. Birds really like the berries that poison ivy produce. Deer like munching on poison ivy. So obviously it's not good for them if, you know, our forests aren't doing well. But in the short term, they may have full bellies and be quite happy about the situation.
They get some snacks.
Yeah.
I do want to bring it back to humans for a second. Is there anything we can do to slow down the growth of poison ivy?
It's really about addressing climate change and CO2 and the warmer weather more broadly. But if you as an individual think you've come into contact with poison ivy, there are absolutely things you can do. The first thing you would want to do is quickly go wash with cold water so you don't open the pores more, and soap to get rid of that oil. There are also things you can buy, kind of poison ivy removal washes. But if you see it on your property and want to remove it, obviously you could hire someone to do that. Or if you want to do it yourself, I'm told like layering up, putting multiple layers on. So if you do touch the oil, you know, it doesn't go through to your skin, and then immediately kind of removing it, washing those clothes, washing yourself, taking a shower. Those things can help.
And before we go, Gabriella, your story has a quiz attached to it.
Yeah.
A quiz that helps people identify poison ivy and learn more about it. Talk to us about that and let us know where folks can find the quiz.
Yes, the quiz is, I think we link to it in our main story about poison ivy. So we have a bunch of photos, and then also in there some tips about what you're looking for in identifying poison ivy. So one of the key things everyone knows is three leaves, but I don't know if you heard this, but I've often heard it's red and shiny, but that's only true in the very early spring. So actually the color of the plant and of the leaf changes over the course of the year. So we're heading into fall. It's going to become part of that fall foliage turning yellow and brown. So the color is not good to go off of. So the things to look for are the edge of the leaf, which is generally smooth, although it can be, you know, in a regular shape. There can be bumps and points, but it's not serrated like a kitchen knife. The other thing you're going to look for in the vine is a poison ivy vine, particularly the more mature part of the vine, the older part, is hairy. It's growing little roots out of the vine. There's one other thing where the three leaves meet. That is the part to look for the color. Where the three leaves, where their stems meet the vine, there's a slight tinge of red right there.
You know, Gabriella, I took the quiz.
Oh, how'd you do?
I got two wrong. So I guess I didn't do too bad, right?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And plus, you know, listeners, take that quiz because Gabriella just gave y'all some answers. So
I know. Those were some good hints.
She helped out, you know? Gabriella, thank you so much for walking us through this. This has been super informative and interesting. So yeah, as always with you. So thank you.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
That's WBUR senior health and science reporter Gabriella Emanuel. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. If you like what you're hearing, please go to wherever you listen to podcasts, especially Apple or Spotify. Rate and review us. It would be such a huge help. Thank you so much ahead of time. Also, if you want to get in touch with us, hit us up on Instagram at WBURTheCommon or send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. And now it is that time for me to let you know that The Common is produced by Caitlin Harrop and Franny Monahan. It's mixed by Emily Jankowski, Matt Reed, and Paul Vikas. And it's edited by Samata Joshi and Ben Brock Johnson. And our theme music is Me from Hisu. And from the newsroom of WBUR, I'm your host, Daryl C. Murphy. I will talk to you soon.